I was shouting down my timeline talking about, you know, my father spoils me in his house and so I can't marry someone that's not going to spoil me, blah blah blah. I just hope you are ready to buy your dad a sensible gift for this upcoming Father's Day, okay? Or you know, the man in your life, whatever that is to you, not your mommy or your father, okay? Anyway, Shah, for this podcast, we have some Nigerian men here who are going to educate us on how it is raising the next generation of the most premium Niger baby girl. Okay? So please make sure you listen. Let us know how you're feeling. And we'll see you guys.
Pull up at the spot, open doors, and it's suicide. She didn't rent free. What the check, please? Couple hundred G's on a.
Welcome back to another episode of Niger Girl Talks. It's your host, Olamide Ayanda. I know it's been a very long time since you guys heard from us. You know, life happens. You know, I turned 30, I moved, I COVID, everything happened. But we're back with a nice, juicy, different conversation today. And today I have two new podcast members, and I feel like you guys will be blessed by them. So without further ado, please introduce yourself.
It's popping yours, Gabe. Friend of the podcast from 330, Project 330, pretty much a podcast where four guys pretty much share about our walks and, you know, things that we go through and in our community. Yeah.
And our other guest.
And I am Wale Awolesi. Not really much else to say to me. I'm single girl dad. Singular girl dad.
Right.
Yeah, I had to clean that up before my wife.
Please do.
She would start a fire. But yeah, but I have one daughter. That's my love. Love her to death. I currently too also have a podcast coming out. It's called Sweet Tea and Lemonade, where we discuss about everyday lifestyle as it pertains to a godly culture. So.
Wow, love it. So he probably picked up on some things. This podcast is called Dedication. Basically a conversation talking to Niger Girl dads who are raising the next generation of Niger girls. And you're in for a treat because these two have so much wisdom and they can shed light on what it means to be a father right now for Nigerian, but upcoming Nigerian women. And I just pray bless you guys. So before we actually get into the matter, the gist of why we're here, we do something called the talk. And the talk is basically, what are you talking about with your friends in your group chat? What is are you gisting about with on your tongue? So who wants to go first?
I can go first. I mean, honestly, if you're a guy right now and you like sports, all we're talking about is the NBA playoffs. Like, it's not really, we're not talking about women. We're not talking about business is on hold. Everything is on hold because it's playoff time. It's NBA playoff time. And yeah, so I mean, I think it's very sports centric right now. Like, you know, it's that and possibly, you know, just shows that we're watching and who's going where, you know, who's taking what trips and things of that nature. Yeah, but that's, I mean, yeah, for us, that's really where it's at. I don't know, Wale.
I got to jump on there with you. It is, everything's on pause. It's the playoffs. Nothing else really matters. That, and of course, in between commercial breaks, we're talking about traveling because, you know, since outside is open back up.
Yes, sir.
I'm tired of seeing my four walls. I'm trying to see some blue water.
For me, I don't know what I'm talking about. I think mostly everybody's trying to enjoy this summer because we didn't really have one last year. So I packed my hot girl summer. I'm traveling. I'm doing X, Y, and Z. But these cicadas are blowing me. Like, what the heck? And then these flights. Nasty. These travel flights are also blowing me. Like, I'm not going to Nigeria. Why are you so expensive? I need phase one COVID prices back ASAP. I can't go to Mexico and it's looking like I'm going to dirty December. Like, there's no reason why I should pay that much to go across the border, you know. But, you know, we thank God we're going to have a great summer minus the cicadas. And the price of gas also is also killing me. Like, go to my tank two times. And Memorial Day weekend, I was just like, I'm not going outside again because it's expensive. Like, why? But other than that, we're going to have fun this year. We're going to 5G. We're going to Shayo left and right. And yeah, catch me on the gram. Like,
girl,
in my skimpy clothes. Like, no, I'm joking.
Wow,
I'm joking.
Keep going.
Wow.
Catch me in my clothes
from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Listen, I'm a Naja girl to the core. Anyway, let's get to the gist, okay? We are talking to first-time fathers of Naja girls, the next generation. I don't know what's after Gen Z because, yeah, they haven't labeled them yet, but you guys are definitely right now pouring into them. So can you share with us how has fatherhood been so far for the both of you?
I'll go first. So fatherhood, it's been an experience. You know, like, I always talk about it with my guy friends. A lot of them ask me the same question over and over again. Those who are new fathers or becoming or about to be fathers or those who are just single. And, you know, for the women, you know, they get the bridal shower, they get the baby shower along the way, you know, as it should be. You know, they need to be taken care of because they go through a lot. They literally are create, like, there's a baby that's being formed in them and then they're bringing them forth. But as far as fathers, no one ever really prepares you. Like, they don't prepare you. Like, nope. they don't talk about the diapers that need to be changed. They don't talk about how to properly handle your wife postpartum. That's like the
fourth trimester.
They don't teach you that. They don't teach you, especially when it comes to girls, the moods, the different personalities, the change in the diapers. So once again, the change in the diapers and the diapers. It's a lot, man. It's crazy. So, but it's been a blessing because, you know, I don't think they also never tell you. I mean, you always think when you have a child, oh, you're gonna look at them with love. But man, when you look at them, especially a girl, me being, you know, She's a daddy's girl. So when I look at her, oh man, it's like there's nothing. If she were to ask me for the moon, I'd have to find a way. Bitcoin, Dogecoin, whatever I gotta sell to get it, I gotta get it. So yeah.
I think for me, fatherhood has kind of been it's been fulfilling, you know. But also like it's a thing where you just kind of like you increase your capacity because you have to, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think what Wally was saying, as far as like, nobody teaches you certain things. It's like, it's not there. Of course there are books and stuff, but you know, like it's preferable to like, yeah, you know, they teach men how to be husbands all the time, but just never how to be fathers, you know, legitimately. And so it's just kind of learning those things from, you know, like taking my own experiences as when I was a child and things that I liked and didn't like that my mom did and things I've seen on social media, things I've been told and just kind of like executing them. And so like, for me, it's just, I think the most interesting part is just seeing how Hope, my daughter, she, you know, like has qualities that are from, you know, like Deb, my wife or I, and it's kind of just like fulfilling, like, wow, we made this child together. And just kind of saying that, like, you know, it's really cool to be like, this is something that we produced. And this is, you know, first and foremost, not, this is God's child. Like, you know, because without that perspective, I think the worry would be out, off the roof. Like it would just be immense and there would be no peace. And yeah, but I also said it increased my capacity because, you know, like it's a whole process to leave the house now. If I ever want to leave the house and leave Deb and Hope together, I have to make sure Deb is cool with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have to, you know, like it's just never like, I just want to get up and go. If I want to sit and do something, I have to now strategically do it in a time where Hope might be taking a nap or like, you know, she's asleep or, you know, so life has really gotten like really strategic where it's like planning is such a thing and everything won't go according to plan. So like, adjusting and adapting has become a big thing in my life. I'll say that much.
Yeah, I remember like we had to plan our movie nights around Hope's bedtime. Like, yes, even my birthday when I came over to you guys' house, my last day being 20, we had to plan it around Hope's bedtime. Like, okay, Hope will go in bed.
That's our CEO, man.
That's our landlord, okay?
Bruh.
She deals with us. But through all that, what is your favorite thing about being a Not Your Girl dad?
I honestly, like, I think for me, it's just, and I think this is still like in flux, but like, kind of like, how do we implant culture in our house? You know what I'm saying? Like, being disconnected to an extent, not growing up in Nigeria, but growing up here, you know what I'm saying? Like, what are the things that we, how do we do it? How do we implement language? How do we implement culture? And I think for me, one of the best things has just been like giving, like enjoying Hope in the midst of her grandmother's, you know, like, and them just loving on her and giving and buying her stuff. And, you know, to me, I'm just like, yeah, make sure y'all talk Yoruba with her, man, because.
Well, buying her gold earrings. Know,
legit. Now, I mean, Hope is legit. Almost lost so many earrings. My mom continues to buy them for her. Anyways, you know the aunties love their gold. So, you know, but I think favorite probably is just like really, really just kind of like the like playing part of like just being Hope's like connecting with her. So like trying to find ways to talk to her as a human and adjusting where I want to step outside of my character. Like if I'm angry in a certain way, realizing that she's a child. And so now in these moments, I have to practice maturity, like, you know, because our parents may or may not have done the same thing with us. You know what I'm saying? Like if I want to discipline her, doing it from a place of love intentionally, as opposed to being, you know, irritation, you know what I'm saying? Like, so it's just really like, I feel like in those moments, like, or if she wants me to play with her and I'm doing something else, it's like me coming to her level. And I think that's probably it. Like coming to her level has been one of my favorite parts of like, you know, just being like a Niger girl dad. Like I love translating myself to a child. It is showing me about me and it's showing me about her. So yeah.
Yeah, there was something that Gabe said that, you know, it that's kind of been my biggest excitement and I guess my biggest task. And, you know, he said that they're instilling their, you know, culture in her. And I always look back at the way that we were raised and the whole thing about being Nigerian. And it's not all Nigerian culture that's good culture. And so we kind of seen it. We've seen what works. Yeah, oh, being in a different country, not so much just it being a different set of rules, no matter where we would be, but just being able to pick and say, okay, this culture I've seen, or this part of my culture I've seen, and it didn't really work out, or I found out that it wasn't really rooted in anything biblical, or it didn't have any merit to it, so. It's a part of me, and it was a process of my growing up and maturing that I had to unlearn certain things that were going to end up being detrimental to me or my relationship in the long run. So being able to just know that whatever, like, you know, you have an active hand in creating the reality of your daughter. And so that is just so, it's important because whatever she's going to learn now, there are going to be things about her. Of course, she's going to form her own opinion, but the grassroots, the beginning stages, the building blocks, we have a hand in implementing and being a present father, not just being a dad, but being a present father as well. So that is just something that's been so exciting for me. Being able to look at her and see the... just the little nuances of just seeing me in her. I'm like, dang, I did that. Seeing how she is, what she's picking up. And that's the thing that's been the most exciting in these couple months. Just like Gabe said, just coming down to her level. Like you would think, you know, oh, you get tired at the end of the day, but it's just something about when she smiles and when she's ready to play, no matter how tired you are, you bring yourself down to that level. And it's a beautiful thing. So, you know, just showing her that you're present, showing her that you're always there, and also instilling in her a confidence and a belief to know that no matter where she is, even now, that when she looks behind her, that I'll always be there. So.
Oh, like when y'all talking, I think about me and my dad. Like my dad will play like King Sunny Ade on Saturday mornings. Like he cleaned the apartment up. And then sometimes we'll switch to reggae and then like Bob Marley type stuff. And we'll be like wiping down the windows, vacuuming, like stuff like that. So I learned music through my dad. And then also like a love for photography. Like we have random photos of our whole childhood, you know, just box of photos because my dad was always capturing stuff and buying us gifts. So I just remember my dad, we all talking like, yeah, like my dad really instilled the love for photography and creating and music inside of me at a young age. So it's cute. And when I see our kids, I think of y'all like Hope definitely acts like Abe and Deb. And does Emmy dance like you and Faye? Yep. When your parents are hot steppers, what can you do but turn up the dance floor?
I guarantee you, like if you all you gotta do is a beat. It don't matter where she is, you can do a beat. Or she'll hear a beat in a different car and just start dancing. Hands up, start dancing, doing her little baby waddle. So it's cute. It's really cute.
So you guys both mentioned that you guys are married to Nigerian women. So that makes you guys kids fully Nigerian. And you both your daughters, both your daughters are actually second gen. I'm Nigerian. So now that you guys are already married to Nigerian women, how is having a daughter changing the way you see Niger girls?
Yeah, no, it's a tough question because, you know, there's still a long way to go. And then, you know, the culture in which we live in, I mean, it's changing even right before our eyes. So, but I guess dang. You may have to come back to me on this one.
Just got to have a second person and then started doing a bunch of thinking.
No. Yeah. Go ahead, Gabe. Go ahead.
I would say just looking at our community, right? Like, I just think that looking at what women face allow me to help prepare my daughter. You know what I'm saying? So, like, girls would, this happens in real life. Like, girls would say, you know, like the house girl treatment, right? So, like, Niger girls, African girls worldwide.
First daughters worldwide, stand up where you at.
I mean,
okay.
Legit. anytime like African women, Nigerian women talk about, you know, like the experience of being like just hardcore domesticated, right? Like things since of that infancy. Nature. Yes, sir. Since infancy, like for me, it kind of like instills a quickness in me, like, all right, let me be careful what I do as we're grooming Hope. You know what I'm saying? Like, for example, I realized like her first birthday, Deb wanted to buy her a kitchen set or something like that, and I was like, you're not about to. I was like, Hope likes dinosaurs. Let's buy her some dinosaur toys. You know what I'm saying? Like, and things of that nature. And Dev is like, yeah, let's buy her a kitchen set. And so somebody had made the joke about domestication.
It was me.
Like, oh, was it you?
At
yeah.
Your house. Yeah. I was like, oh, my child. So, take it away.
Mind you, somebody else had bought her a kitchen set. So, you know, there was that. But so we bought her dinosaur toys. And I remember one of our other, she's not Nigerian, but she's African. She came over. She was like, wow. So like Hope plays with dinosaurs. Like, that's really, really different. Like, that's a boy thing. I'm like, I mean, you know,
excuse
like,
me?
You know, so it was just an interesting thing to like, really like, you know, kind of like create change. Just listening to the women around me, like, when they talk about things that were traumatizing to them, as far as like what their mother, father did, asked them to do, made them do, and how they were treated. And so also it just helps me be aware of like the younger women in our community, you know what I'm saying? Like, so it, to me, it just really like heightens my awareness as far as like my upbringing of Hope and what I expose her to and how I expose her to it. So, you know, I'm always listening to the African women around me because I think it's really relevant to take from their stories. Cause I'm a guy, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was raised as a guy. We get more freedoms. We get treated way differently because of patriarchy and stuff. So to me, yeah, I think that's probably one of the things, like really listening to them and their stories and just trying to use it to help Hope grow.
That was beautiful because you literally summed all my pain as the first daughter, the first Niger girl in my family. And I couldn't do any better than that.
Yeah, because I was like, that's true. I raised my siblings. I got three siblings. The youngest is a boy. I got two girls. And even just as Gabe was talking, you know, it kind of just kind of took me back to a lot of the growing pains that you would kind of see in their kind of up in their upbringing, and you know what aunties and even my mom would kind of just say what they should do and how they should act. And yeah, I guess that's how that's really had an effect on the way that I raise Emmy, because just like Gabe said, I'm not trying to force anything that isn't of her, or trying to because of culture, this is how things are done, this is how this is done. I believe that we are all our own individual, right? I do believe that the core things that every young woman should have, and those are things that we would instill, but just making sure that she's able to grow up as her own individual, regardless of whether we're talking about Nigerian culture or just, you know, just however we want to bring her up, but making sure that she understands that she has her own lane, she has her own identity, and she's able to grow in love. Because I also hear a lot of female friends who are Nigerians, and they talk about kind of this expectation, kind of coupled with that house girl mentality. But there's this expectation of Nigerian women where, you know, it's a strict thing. Each, like, there's like so many different benchmarks. It's hard for them.
Can I also add pick me syndrome to this list of house girl? No, like we talk about this pick me mentality that our mothers be pulling on us, you know, but you know, go ahead.
Low key.
Like, yeah. You know, I don't want my daughter kind of growing up feeling like there's this benchmark for every moment of her life. When she gets to go to college, as soon as she's out of college, she should be married, and just things like that. So just helping her grow to understand that she herself is has the ability to do whatever she wants. She has the ability to create if she wants to create, sing if she wants to sing. And just to understand that as she grows and as her gifts begin to grow, that the gifts that she does have will make room for her. It won't be easy in certain instances, but they will make room for her in the long run. And it's not so much that I'm not preparing you just for marriage, I'm preparing you for life. So.
Amen. I'm preparing you for life, not marriage, life.
That's good. Life.
So you guys share some things about unlearning and learning things concerning Niger girls and how you want to raise them based on convos you have with other Nigerian women, things you saw in your own upbringing with your siblings and your moms and stuff like that. So how has raising a Niger girl changed you as an individual? Well, as a father? Now that you're like all the talking you were doing before other people, now that you're actually raising one.
Yeah. So you never, so early on in the conversation, I mentioned, you know, just, you know, of course, preparing for life. And then also the whole thing about picking and choosing different culture. You know, there's certain things that you look at from your parents that kind of slip in, you don't really realize that are there. Until a situation arises with your daughter, you're like, that was my father right there. I don't even know where that came from.
Right.
I don't even know where that came from, man. But I guess it's changed me because it's made me become hypersensitive to a lot of the things that I may say or do, or even my expectations of her, to make sure that one, it comes from a pure place. Meaning that that there's true merit behind it. And then also the fact that, you know, just kind of checking myself that I don't slip into the mentality of setting those benchmarks or trying to label certain things as, oh, like kind of like what Gabe said about the cooking set, you know, oh yeah, no, she has to cook. I mean, I would love my daughter to cook because I just believe at core, you know, cooking, you know, if you can cook, whether you're a man, you know, male or female, if you can cook, you know, you will never go hungry. You don't have to worry about whether you have enough money, right, you can always put something together. Right. So, but definitely being able to check myself, just making sure that I'm not putting unrealistic pressures on her, making sure that it's not some type of culture thing, or, you know, allowing conversations that you may have with your mother or even your in-laws that may project, oh, this is what we do as a culture, rather than it being, no, this is what she's interested in right now. Let her live that out to a certain extent with certain things. That's a deeper conversation, but yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Gabe?
You're good. I think for me, really, it's just like, I connect, this is going to sound really funny, but on the parent side, I connect so much more, because I think my mom used to say things that I just strategically remember when it happens to me. So my mom would be like, I because I don't have a child, does that mean I can't eat? Like, you know, I just know that.
Yo!
I didn't really get some of these things like 100% until I became a parent, because I was just like, yo, like, I just made you a gourmet meal for a child. You didn't eat it.
No, y'all be going all out for her.
Bro.
And she won't eat it.
It's picturesque. You know what I'm saying? Picturesque vibes. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd make a parent blog if I wasn't tired all the time. But no, like, legit, we would make this meal, and, you know, like, for her, she wouldn't eat it, maybe be sloppy. And then you come and sit down and JJ eat your own food.
And now she's there.
They're just grabbing for it. They're looking for it. Yeah. So it's just like this thing of like, or even this is a really funny one. Also, like, my mom would be like, so every time you guys come home, they know. And it's like, what does that mean? And living in an apartment with Hope, with a toddler, you understand what it means, because as soon as you get home, the Hulk just stomping around your apartment. So of course people know, yeah, them people home now. And so it's just these little things. I'm like, man, like, for me, it's grace, you know, towards that project. Because, you know, we can be very spiteful of, like, certain things and things they, like, behaviors that we exhibited from our parents, especially being African, not being sensitive sometimes, not being nurturing sometimes in some ways. But
being aggressive.
It hits different when you realize, like, so, like, me, because I work full-time and because I'm married and because of having extracurriculars, like, I realize I know what it feels like to come home tired and then the house just look a mess. But, you know, Hope's at the stage where I don't expect her to, you know, clean it up. So it's either me or my wife. So to me, it's just like, I could, for them who, like, didn't have a mental health error or something of that nature. And, you know, I don't know that they had opportunities to really look within and stuff. You know, like, I could understand and see why, you know, they came home and kind of lashed out, and I'm not excusing it. But there's compassion there to an extent. So I think for me, like, what it's really done for me, you know, just as a person, is just really built up how I look internally, and feel and stuff like that, because now Hope is another source of water to fill my cup. You know what I'm saying? And so now it's like, I have to manage myself much better so I can be efficient for everybody, and things of that nature. So it just adds a whole different dimension of, like, doing that. I mean, but she's precious and everything, but honestly, it really made me love my mom more. You know, and me and my mom didn't have a great relationship a while ago, and now we're better, but it just being a parent it just made me love her so much more.
Shout out to mommy. We used to eat her food back in the day when Gabe was single, eating her designer stew on her couch.
Good times when somebody was cooking for me.
Hello, for us.
Chill out.
For us. Okay, the whole crew ate good. You guys mentioned something that I want to expound on. You said that you've talked to past Niger girls and you've heard, current Niger girls, praise God, they're not dead. And current Niger girls, and you heard, like, their frustration being the first daughter, how their parents raised them with that whole domestic mentality and stuff like that. And you probably, even, like, interacting with other Nigerian women, you probably noticed some things that they're missing, like, character-wise or self-esteem-wise or moral-wise. So what are some key values or morals that you guys are instilling in your own daughters that you notice that my generation of Niger girls are missing or have not experienced?
I think, and this is going to sound weird, so like, please, women, don't come.
Disclaimer.
Don't prepare your arrows, you know, but I think there's a level of sensitivity that our earlier generation lacked. Ooh. Yeah.
Ooh.
I'm not even saying.
Wait, hold on, bro. Hold on. I need you.
I'm sorry.
Rewind.
Because I didn't expect that.
You guys
please.
Are funny.
No, please. Say it again.
No, so a certain level of like sensitivity that the generation before us lacked. And it still shows to this day, like when they talk to either us or, you know, like the way they see us, oh, you've gained weight. And, you know, it's just.
Hello.
You know, just them.
Why are you not married? Are you
like,
a
what?
Right. Are you okay? No, I'm like, what?
No kind of filter. No kind of regard for emotions, like, you know, and I think for me, I just kind of see that, like, I'm around women when we see the generation before us and I see how they talk to them and things of that nature. And I think that sensitivity, to be honest, like the women I know of my generation, like they're not as abrasive as some, you know, but I do think in some ways I do feel like the expectation on men, you know what I'm saying? Like how to like love men and stuff like that. Some women of our generation haven't been taught how to do that properly. They've been taught to kind of, what's the traditional way? Oh, if he does this, you just stay because
forgive him, pick me.
Yeah, he's a good man because of X, Y, and Z. These things make him good, a job. You know what I'm saying? Like that's the standard, the bar is in hell. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a thing where it's like, it's like, you know, I don't think that carried over for our women in the same way that they view it. But I do think that it has now caused the difficulty with sometimes like Niger women loving Niger men and some of us not knowing how to behave also towards Niger women. And so for me, when I think about my own daughter, I have to make sure that like I think about teenage years already, you know, like I just be like, man, how am I going to teach Hope to manage boys and not just shield her from them? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm sorry.
My Lord. It was coming. I felt that too. I was like,
it's, you know, because of course you want to be like, you don't want to be our parents, but you don't want to be like liberal, like go out and do what you want in the world. You know what I'm saying? The condom type, like, you know, thing. So it's just kind of thinking about those things and how culturally, like, a lot of us never had sex talk. A lot of us never had how to, you know, do friendship, how to do relationships and stuff like that. So for me, I'm watching shows like Blackish and all this. I'm like, bro, how am I going to have this conversation with Hope, my own daughter? And I have no real reference point because, you know, my mom was so busy being a single mom and working and putting food on the table and everything like that. She didn't, you know, it was only boys for me. So like, you know, either way, it's just like there was never conversations about these things. And so for me, it's new territory. And when I talk to a lot of my mans and, you know, like a lot of women that I know, nobody really got these things. And so that's just something, that sensitivity and, you know, that teaching how to love and manage things, because they taught us how to avoid, you know, like, don't do this, don't do that. Don't do, you know, and it's like you never learn how to manage things. And so now with Hope, even in her toddler phase, I'm trying to show her like, okay, you do this with this thing, not just don't do it. No, you can't be there, stuff like that. Yeah.
I don't know what to say because that was a sermon on its own. No, like I wasn't prepared for that response. Actually, like that could have been a whole podcast by itself, Gabriel.
No,
are you the host? Am I the host? Who's the host here? Like, let me know. But no, that was first time father. Are you sure you didn't have experience from back? Those sorts of wisdom that you just shared just now.
I don't know. You know. Gabe got that old school wisdom. Like he done been here. Like that wisdom done been here before. Okay.
He has. I hope you guys caught the gem that he just shared because. You just okay, Wale. I know you're about to pick it up a notch, but yeah, go ahead.
Amen.
I'm just saying, I know that some of y'all listening to this are a little bit triggered, but it is facts, okay?
That makes sense.
Because what he said, Yeah, because that would have triggered me, and I'm a man. But anyway, but you know, everything that Gabe said is like 100% true. When you talk to your female friends, or even when you just kind of, because I got people watch, so I kind of notice different tendencies that people have. I don't know why. It's a weird thing of mine, but I kind of see, I know when people have when they're uncomfortable, or when something feels weird to them for some reason. I speak to my female friends, and everything that Gabe said is absolutely true. And one thing in particular that he talked about was the way that, you know, there was no reference point for a lot of Niger women of today to kind of fall back on how to love. And I want to just kind of speak on that how to love part, because with our parents, and just even with the culture in Nigeria, no matter whether you're Igbo, whether you're Fulani, Hausa, or Cross Rivers, from the whole Yoruba side, the whole thing is that there's more than one particular way to love, as far as like the love language which you give. And for some reason, the only love language in Nigeria that they acknowledge or care to think that exists is acts of service. It's only acts of service. Your parents are never happy unless you do. They're never happy unless you do.
You're hurting me. You're hurting me.
I'm just like it's the truth, you know. And I think that's kind of like Gabe said, it's kind of hurt the way that people express themselves. Yeah.
Hold on, bro. That's big. I thought about that concept, but you saying acts of service as opposed to like gifts or money, like
money, that's right.
It's very true. It's
what
very
can you
true.
Do I for me?
I had to ask an exclamation point. Sorry, go ahead. Keep going, bro.
No, you're right. I mean, because like I got to think about it, because I think I remember when just talking with some of my friends, and they talk about the issues that they have. And like me, with me, like I teach the teenagers in my church. So a lot of them, they all talk to me, and they really tell me like a lot of deep issues that they deal with their parents. And I've noticed like it's always, what can you do for me? What can you do for me? And I even look back even on my life, and it's just kind of that, what can you do for me kind of expectation that's done there. And if you don't do then, or you don't do exactly as I say, then, oh, you're wayward, and we need to take you to the church, and you need to be prayed for. Like, that's not the answer for everything. And
slavery.
I feel that, yeah. And so I feel like whenever you see a lot of people who have relationship issues, they have a lot of trust issues. And then mainly because they're unsure of how to love or how to express the love that they do have, because they've been programmed to think, oh, I have to do, or I have to constantly prove. It's not so much to constantly prove, you just have to love someone correctly. You know what I'm saying? And I feel that is something that I have kind of taken in with my daughter, which is why I kind of say, you know, I want her to grow up knowing that she has freedom in Christ. Let me fix what I said before, but freedom in Christ to kind of figure herself out, know exactly what it is that she's trying to move, how she wants to move, how she's received in the household. Because I already know for her, her love language is quality time. I can be working at home, and she will literally come and grab my finger in the middle of the meeting, and I'm gone. And the thing I love about my job is that they know that if I'm gone from my seat, it's because my other coworker has pulled me away from my seat, and they're cool with that.
Aww.
But I feed into her love languages, because I want her to understand that the way that you love is good enough. You don't have to conform and be something different. Mm-hmm. In order for you to be loved, or for you to be able to receive love, or to interpret what love is, you know, you can be free in that. And I think that will also open her up to be able to receive. So I guess, you know, that would be it. You know, just for other women, just being able to understand how to love, because it hasn't been shown to us. It was never shown to us.
But I also want to add that you guys, I love how you guys love your wives. And I feel like because the way you guys love your lives and, you know, cater to them and lead them from a place of love, your daughters are like seeing real life example of what men should be. Not like, yeah, men, oh, my daddy's mean to my mom, and my mom is like begging her to love her. And just like, no, like they're seeing like, okay, like, ah, daddy loves mommy. Daddy says, I love mommy in public. Daddy kisses mommy. Daddy buys mommy gifts. Daddy talks to mommy, spends time with mommy. So they see all this stuff. And I feel like my generation, we didn't really see the best example. So indirectly, we've gravitated towards men that are trash.
And so, what you said is so real, because a lot of, you know, we're creatures of habit, right? By the time your daughter or your male or female, by the time they're of a certain age, they've already picked up. Like when Emmy started walking, I can tell you her thought process as I carry her through it, like into a new place. She's already programmed in her mind, I'm touching that, I'm touching that, I'm touching that, I'm touching that. And then when I drop her, then it's on her. Then she's going to go back and say, okay, where was that thing I saw that I wanted to touch so much? And she'll find it and she'll touch it. She has to touch. She has to play with whatever she saw. And so I say that because even the way that our parents have, or our fathers treated our mothers, or mothers treated our fathers, we see that. And so because we've seen that over an 18-year span for some people, or over how many years, you don't realize that our DNA is being rewritten in real time. So the things in which your mom has picked up at a certain age, she's now, you're going to start exhibiting those same things, even though she didn't start doing it until later. So what you're watching over a long period of time, you're picking up, and it's now becoming a part of your nature. So if all we saw at a young age was that, oh, the fathers were non-active, or they only cared about school, they only cared about this, they only cared about that, they didn't care about nothing else. So all you're going to look for, or unknowingly, kind of subconsciously, you're looking for those certain traits that your father had because you loved him unconditionally. And because you loved him unconditionally, that's what you want to pick up.
Oh, my God. Oh, I'm being delivered on this podcast. You guys have so many gems about raising your daughters. I'm like, I'm even picking up stuff. I don't have any kids, but you know, one day I will, and I will use what I shared. But any word of advice you guys have for future Niger Girl dads, whether they're expecting a child, believing God for a child, or they're single, praying for God for a wife, another podcast, another day, but any advice you guys have for them about raising the next generation of Niger Girls?
Yeah, I think for me, honestly, one of the biggest things, and you know, because we're at, you know, Niger Girl Talks, you got to make sure we condition it to that. But you know, like one of the biggest things that we're at Niger Girl Talks. One of the things, like, I think that's really big, that's really culturally relevant, is learn how to love your wives in parenthood. You know, like learn how to partner with them, learn how to carry equal weight, and learn how to,
man,
like, date and love them, you know, like during this process, because sometimes it gets hard and life gets a lot and overwhelming. And so if you don't learn how to build that intimacy, like before a child or anything like that, it gets harder to do. And sometimes, you know, resentment builds within a woman if a man is not, you know, assisting. And assisting doesn't just look like, oh, I'm going to cook this one night or two night, you know, like make a pattern of cooking in the house, or cleaning in the house, and make it, you know, like an equality thing. Not like, okay, I'm just doing this because I'm like, I'm as much as a parent, you know, like if you talk to my wife, I'm as much as a parent as her. After breastfeeding, we're now 50-50. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, you know, I do everything. There's nothing except hair,
bro.
You know what I'm saying? But legit, like, you know, even when Deb like wants to do Hope's hair, like I'll go and, you know, like wash it, you know what I'm saying? The easier stuff, you know what I'm saying? So that it makes it easier on her. But like, just learn for the guys, how you can help a woman in pregnancy, after pregnancy, before pregnancy, just loving and being there, and being present as a dad. Like, be present. You know what I'm saying? If you plan, like for me, if I'm playing 2K or something or whatever, and somebody else needs me in the house, I drop it fast and then I go handle and I come right back. It's not going anywhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll be good. If I'm online, it's, you know, they've learned to, you know, give me grace and wiggle room, you know what I'm saying? And stuff like that. And that's because I communicate. So, but you know, like just being present and being actually there, learn how to do that. Learn how to take up responsibility that isn't just work or things that are considered quote unquote manly or masculine activity. Yeah.
And you, Wale?
You know, I just love to hear Gabe talk sometimes, man, because, you know, he be dropping some real gems. He just be like, man. Like, lately, I was like if y'all could see the video, like, I was squirming in my seat. I was like, oh, and another one. And another one. The Sixers could have used you this afternoon. Huh? Okay.
Wow. Well, all right. Yeah, most definitely.
They could have used you this afternoon. There's a lot of points you're putting up here. But, you know, Gabe gave some amazing points. As far as a husband, I always say the term flexibility comes into place, and you have to introduce to yourself flexibility, and you have to remove that word can't, because a lot of
oh my god.
You found out a lot of men will always say, like, oh, no, I can't. Nah. Nah, if I have a baby, I can't do that. Nah, that's a woman thing. And, you know, Gabe spoke a lot to it, you know, when, like, in marriage, right? And Gabe spoke to this as well. I'm just going, just giving a different aspect of it. There's a season in your life where, you know, there was a season when you were growing up. There's a season you were in school. There's a season you were working. There's a season now that everyone's investing. Or even like they're just different seasons. And I think a lot of people don't realize that those different seasons come into play in a marriage. Those seasons change, love languages change and different things like that. And in a different season, you have to adapt and be flexible enough to be able to make your home work. No matter what may come out of the other side, it's on you to make it work, right? And so that flexibility, meaning that when you do have a child, the things that you're saying that you can't change the diaper because it's too stinky, or you're not accustomed to cleaning, or even if it's something is cooking or getting the bottle ready, even if it's going shopping at a mall, you don't do that, or taking walks outside, whatever it may be, you have to be able to say, you know, you're entering a stage where you, like, I want to say that, like, that husband or that husband mantle that you have to be the head of the household, this is where it really kicks into gear, because now it's not only so much that you're raising, that you're building up your wife, you're now building up children. And so they're always going to remember you for what you're able to do. And just like Gabe said, if she's doing hair, then if they're dishes, let me go ahead and do dishes. Let me find a way to lighten the load so right. that way things work, the house is functional, and it doesn't just right. stop. Things don't get stale, because like yeah. we said before, your kids are always watching, and those are going to be the things that they're going to remember. So when you have a young son, that'll happen when they'll see that, and then you're just breeding up another wrong thing. When you have a daughter, they see that as legacy. Well. So
yep.
Yeah, that legacy is there. So it's up to you to go ahead and say, hey, the way that the there is no can't in my vocabulary, because the next season in my life may have to be a must do. I may have to do that. And so I think that's important when you're talking about giving advice to someone who's going to be a Niger girl dad, because you're going to have to be able to be flexible enough to show that you're capable of being able to move with the punches or whatever else may come your way, not being too rigid. And understanding that as a father, your roles are not just subject to your masculinity, but it's also just about being present. That thing about being present, huge. Huge.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I was just receiving all that she had just said. I mean, like, when this podcast dropped, I have to send it to some people that need to hear it before they even...
Yeah, hey, check out this episode. I think you'll like it.
You. Yeah, I think you would. Yeah. You know, because y'all just know, like, I'm just sitting here like, wow. But I remember I'm the host I gotta talk to. But yeah, no, that's really good. It's really good. It's really good. Like, Wow. You have a single friend for me that's also as mature as you guys, because I cannot enter marriage and parenthood with somebody that's Rio was speaking like, wow, where can I find you guys at? Where can I buy you guys?
When you find your potential, send them to us.
Legit. Let's bet.
Subtweet. Let's do dinner. Oh, okay. Dinner on the ease. But this is really good. Oh my gosh. Okay, where can everybody find you to gain more wisdom when you guys drop on Instagram and stuff like that?
I think so for me, of course, like Project 330, we have our podcast. So PROJ330 is our Instagram. And it's, if you look on like Spotify and stuff, it's The Greater Podcast. And my personal IG is Blue, J-I-D as in dog E. And I mean, if you got, you know, like father questions, I'm a fresh father, so, you know, whatever. But, you know, father questions, guy questions, either hit us up on Project 330 or hit me up personally. You know, like, I don't mind answering any like DMs or anything like that. I'm always here to help the community. Like, as a believer, I believe that I'm supposed to be salt to the earth. So, you know, I'm open. I'm here. I'm married, so just don't get funky. You know what I'm saying?
Don't get funky. And
his wife can fight, so I wouldn't even try.
She can, like, yeah. Devs ain't, she ain't, yeah. Yeah, if you go toe-to-toe with her, you ain't for the faint of heart. She lay you out and pray over you after, too.
Facts.
Amen. Well, I mean, you can find me on Instagram at Antoine Fisher PG. But honestly, I don't really be on Instagram like that.
I'm about to be like,
no, I will. I sure enough will. I was going to do a Mike Jones and drop the number, but so you can also find us Sweet Tea Lemonade Podcast on Instagram as well. It should be dropping beginning of next month. So look out for that. It's not so much just for the married people, but we just talk about a whole bunch of current events, things that we as young, affluent and growing Nigerians, Americans, Caucasians, whatever may have you, how we should grow and the things that we should take into consideration when we talk about different situations in our life. So that's coming first week in July. Once again, you can reach me at Antoine Fisher PG. Like Gabe said, no hanky panky, because my wife throw down.
She sure does. Before we actually close out for referral, the Holy Spirit prompted me to just say, like, Happy Father's Day. By the time you're hearing this, it should be Father's Day. And please, please, let's honor our fathers.
Yeah. Good with and more bad. Than ties and screwdriver kits and.
But you know. You know, honor your parents so you may live long. If you have like a strange relationship with your father or you're not really close to him, just try to honor him today in some shape or form, because without him, you wouldn't be here, you know, despite all that he did.
It's very true.
You wouldn't be here. Like, you know, we can all list what our fathers did to us, but at the end of the day, God sees what he had done, but God honestly look at how you're acting. So honor your father. Please don't post your mother today. Post your dad if you want
please,
to.
Please, for the don't love not, of God.
For the love of God.
Please. Mother let's stop doing that. I have a mother who did everything for me, and I will not post her on Father's Day.
Just
honor a man who's a father.
Right.
A father figure to you.
Father figures. Yeah.
Please.
Honor that.
Please.
But while it, in the time that we do have left of the recording, do you mind praying for father and daughter relationships to be amended or potential ones, whatever the Spirit is leading to you? Can you actually pray as we end the podcast?
Sure. Father God, we just want to thank you for the opportunity in which you've given us today, not only just for us to speak on fatherhood, but also for those who are listening to hear this at whatever season that they may be in their life. Father, Lord, we just ask that, Lord, every unspoken hate or feeling that has grown in a negative way between a a daughter and a father, Lord. We ask that you amend today, Father, Lord Jesus, whether it be unforgiveness for an act that was done or for a behavioral thing, Lord, we just ask that in the name of Jesus that you would introduce your spirit into the situation and that you would bring up forgiveness over their life. That, Father, Lord Jesus, that you would mend every stony heart and you would make it into flesh. That, Lord Jesus, that they would come to a time to be able to accept this healing in this time, that they may be able to receive that blessing that comes from a father as well, in the name of Jesus. So, Father, Lord, we just want to just thank you for their lives. We thank you for bringing them up until this point. And, Father, Lord Jesus, we just pray that, Lord, that any trauma that anyone may be experiencing, that, Lord, even as they become mothers and fathers, that, Lord, that you would bring them to an understanding of how they should raise their children in a way that is pleasing to your sight. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you guys so much for joining me. And thank you guys for listening. If you can, share this podcast with a friend or family member. And stay tuned for the next topic. Odabo.
Odabo.